It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, PJ Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
The Rockets stumble late in this game, fall to the Lakers 112-102, as LA takes a 2-1 series lead in this second round playoff matchup. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. This game was interesting before it even started because it was announced that Daniel House Jr. would not be available for this game, and MDA citing nothing more than personal reasons and just went out of the way to say that it was not COVID-19 related, and there has yet to be any more news on what's going on with Daniel House Jr., so I will keep you up to date with that. As soon as we hear something, you will hear something. But past that, this game was an extremely back and forth game, one in which the Houston bench, which has already been subpar in this series, was even more decimated in the absence of Daniel House Jr. And I mean, this was a crazy back and forth game, looking at just, 16 lead changes, 15 times this game was tied, really neck and neck, tied up at 82 going into that fourth quarter. And the Rockets stumbled late, and that's what cost them the game. Is the Lakers came out of the gate in that fourth quarter, had a couple back-to-back threes, one that was extremely lucky by Rajon Rondo, and that gave them the momentum, the push that they needed to kind of coast to the end, or not coast per se, but kind of gave them the momentum to continue on that 17-5 run to start the fourth quarter, and they never really looked back after that. They were kind of in firm control of the game from that point forward. LeBron James had a monster night. He had 29 first-half points, finished the game, 36 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, had a steal, had 4 blocked shots. He turned into basically prime Dikembe Mutombo out there, had a couple chase down blocks, had just some really impressive rim protection, had to carry the Lakers on both sides in this one for three quarters, and then finally the rest of the Lakers woke up and were actually contributing in that fourth quarter as well. The Rockets side of things, James Harden had another, very impressive game, 33 points, 11 of 23 shooting, 4 of 9 from behind the arc, 7 of 7 at the charity stripe, had 9 rebounds, 9 assists, very much flirting with a triple-double, only 2 turnovers in this one. And then Russell Westbrook had a hell of a bounce-back game, an absolute masterpiece of a game from Russell Westbrook, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, a block, did have 3 turnovers, but that's okay. I do think that there were some key turnovers right there in that stretch at the top of the fourth quarter, and Russ did count for one of those. But overall, Russ had a hell of a bounce back game, and it's just disheartening because had some version of this Russ showed up in game two, it would be 2-1 in favor of the Rockets right now. And that's the part that's so hard to stomach, is because I know he's capable of this, and we know that he is capable of being this version of a player, and I just hope that he can sustain this level of excellence moving forward in the series, because they cannot sustain another game like Game 2 Russ. If Russ plays this way, this style, and this controlled and measured for the rest of the series, I'm confident the Rockets will win. I really am. James Harden is going to stay consistent. He is one of the most consistent superstars there is. And there's not a stopper for this team. Even with the trapping, even with the double teams, James Harden has been consistent through 3 games in this series. And I think he's going to remain consistent. So if they can get Russ to play to this level for the remainder of this series, All it's going to take is a few more shots from the role players, slightly better games from Eric Gordon, slightly more production from Tucker, Covington, something, God forbid, it's just something out of Ben McLemore and Austin Rivers in their combined 21 bench minutes had 0 points. Get something out of the bench. Get Daniel House Jr. back in there and get his production back. If Westbrook and Harden can be this consistently great on a nightly basis, the Rockets will pull this series out. I am staking that claim right now. But it's on their shoulders. And we saw it in game two. Westbrook was not up to snuff in game two. The role players all showed up and did their job. Westbrook did not. They lost the game. Westbrook showed up, absolutely did his job in game two. So did James Harden. The role players did not show up, did not do their jobs, and they lost the game. And they lost the game in that fourth quarter. And I'll dive a little bit deeper into that coming up. But just, Russ's stat line, 30 points, 13 of 24 shooting, 2 of 4 from behind the arc, 2 of 2 at the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. And now that I'm catching myself, I think I already reiterated his stat line. But I mean, it was a phenomenal bounce back game from him. And the one thing that I will not ever be able to wrap my head around is the unwillingness of referees to give Russell Westbrook the whistle. I am dumbfounded by the fact that he drives to the rim with so much explosion, so much aggression, and it seems that he is never able to get the benefit of the whistle. And I don't know if that's just because of his personality, because of his demeanor, because of his antics on the court, whatever it may be. I do not understand how he winds up on the floor consistently after drives, takes hard contact to the body across his arm. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's because when Harden and LeBron drive, they are kind of sweeping their arms up through the defenders, and Westbrook is so explosive that he's getting past defenders, but he's getting bodied by them as he's going up to the rim, getting knocked around and ending up sideways on the floor and still doesn't receive a whistle. He only got 2 free throws in this game. 2 free throws. That is just ridiculous. I do not know how Russell Westbrook, a guy who is as aggressive as he is and how many times he drove in this game, I do not understand how he only winds up with 2 free throws. That I will never be able to wrap my head around. And it is just, Russell Westbrook could have had 40 points in this game. He really could have. You know, now it becomes another thing if he actually hits his free throws, but that's besides the point. He should be getting to the line is my main takeaway from this. So I just, that part is going to bug me to the end of the earth. But really great night from him, a really solid bounce back. And if he can keep this level of production up, or if there's potentially one more gear for him to hit, then I like the Rockets' chances throughout the rest of the series, because this game, it took a monster game from LeBron James on both sides of the basketball court to keep the Lakers just even with the Rockets. They were even going into the fourth quarter, and then a few things broke the Lakers' way. Rajon Rondo turning into prime Lou Dort at the top of the fourth quarter. Well, you know, those back-to-back three-pointers, that had to happen to give them the separation, and then they were able to kind of coast and keep going with that 17-5 run. That was lucky as all hell. You don't tip your cap to that. You just say, well, damn, the ball just didn't break our way. Because in what world do you think Rajon Rondo is going to shoot 3 of 5 from behind the three-point line? I will say, though, that even though it is perfectly fine to treat Rajon Rondo as a non-shooter, it is not okay to treat him, to just give him wide open looks. You cannot do that. NBA players, at their core, they are insanely good players. And if you give any player a wide open look, they will eventually start to hit. And maybe all it takes is that one shot to go in to give him the confidence to then go on and drain the rest of his shots. So that's exactly what happened. Rondo lit us up to the tune of 21 points on 8 of 11 shooting. Really, really tough to stomach that. And then again, Markieff Morris the game prior. So the Rockets have to do a better job of containing the Lakers' role players. And I will talk more in just a moment about that run at the top of the fourth quarter that really kind of decimated the Rockets in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Trust me, I get it. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your very next meal. The best part is you can continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Ordering is easy. Just open the app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your very first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you're not already doing so, do me a huge favor. Do me a favor, the show a favor, and do yourself a favor. Hit subscribe on that iTunes button, the Spotify button, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Hit subscribe. That way you can keep up to date with the show. We do this show 5 days a week. It's out 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We have a show every single day. And if you hit that subscribe button, you'll get the shows as soon as I publish them rather than waiting for me to tweet about it on social media. So definitely hit that subscribe button. Do me a favor. I would really appreciate it. So talking about this fourth quarter, right? The fourth quarter starts tied up 82. And the Lakers go on a 17-5 run. And looking at that run, it was so crazy, the shots the Lakers hit to actually start up that run. So Kuzma had a 2-point, you know, easy bucket to start the quarter. Russell Westbrook hit a 3-pointer to start the quarter, which I still don't think was a good shot. I'm never going to concede that Russell Westbrook 3-pointers are a good shot, but he was 2 of 4 on them tonight. So, and he shoots historically around 34% on catch and shoot threes. So I'm still on the fence about whether or not it's a good shot. I'd rather him drive it in, but he did make that three. So it's 85-84. LeBron James has a layup. And then Rondo, and this is the backbreaker. This was the painful one. It's right there, neck and neck, 86-85. And at the 9:28 mark of the fourth quarter, Rondo hits that three-pointer off of a Markieff Morris assist where they're trapped in the corner. The shot clock is running down, and Rondo has to throw up a prayer. And he just sinks it. And though that right there is such a backbreaker, because there was no business for Rondo to make that shot. He is a historically horrible shooter. And the Rockets called a full timeout right there. That's when James Harden got subbed back into the game. And the run just continued. They did not have an answer for it. The very next play, Rondo got a wide open three-point shot. And that bumped up the score at 92-85. And then the Lakers, again, come back down. Rondo hits another shot. Bumps the lead 94-85. This was an 8-0 Rajon Rondo run to push the game from 86-85 to 94-85. And then finally, Jeff Green is able to get a little dunk off of a Russell Westbrook assist. And, you know, it looked like maybe the Rockets were getting ready to respond, and they just couldn't do it. Caruso then comes down to hit a three off of a Rondo assist. And Rondo was the steadying force right there for the Lakers in that fourth quarter. His timely buckets, his ability to set up the rest of the team, he was the reason the Lakers won this game. I'm still fully convinced that had Rondo not bailed them out with those back-to-back three-pointers, which again, the numbers say that he had no business making those shots, just got lucky. But had Rondo not bailed them out, I don't know if LeBron had enough left in the tank to finish that game off. Because I called it at halftime, and he only put in 7 more points. After 29 and a half, he only put in 7 more points in this game. And I genuinely don't think that he would have had enough had the Rockets not completely caved right there at the start of the fourth quarter. He was able to get an early rest and then just kind of chill for a little bit and then check back into the game and coast to the victory. So had they been pressuring from the top of the fourth quarter and just kept the score, you know, even, then LeBron might have had to play that entirety of the fourth quarter and probably would have been a little bit gassed by the end of the game. Started probably settling for some shots rather than the bully ball that he's so successful at. I'm going to stand by that. But we didn't get to see that because of the Rockets' breakdown. And unfortunately, in that gap, that was some of the bench time, right? And that's not on Russell Westbrook. It's not his sole job to carry the team through that gap. That was some defensive breakdowns, some defensive miscommunications. But offensively, getting zero contributions from two-thirds of your bench brigade is just abysmal. Again, I talked about it already, but 0 points for Ben McLemore and Austin Rivers through a combined 21 minutes, only four shot attempts on the night for them. Jeff Green, 16 points off the bench, 7 of 11 shooting, only took 2 3-pointers. And here's another big takeaway that's something that we got to focus on. The Rockets attempted 33-pointers in this game. Hit 12 of them, 40%. The Lakers attempted 33-pointers in this game. Hit 10 of them. The Rockets are only plus 6 from behind the arc, when normally, throughout many of the OKC games, they were a whopping plus double-digit number, sometimes in the 20s against Oklahoma City, because they were still getting their usual volume of 50-some-odd threes up. And I want to talk about why they didn't get their usual volume of threes and haven't gotten their usual volume of threes against this Lakers team coming up here in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. I want protein bars to become a positive thing for you like they have become for me. And you can do that with Built Bar. Look, these bars are incredible. They are low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. They are absolutely great. Primo for a keto diet. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're not gritty or chalky like some other protein bars are. And they come in so many different phenomenal flavors. I mean, when's the last time? Like, look, cookies and cream, coconut almond, raspberry, banana bread, mint chocolate brownie, my personal favorite, the double chocolate mousse. You cannot go wrong with. These bars are packed with anywhere from 17 to 20 grams of protein in each bar. And you can go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to try it right now. And you'll get $10 off your order. So remember, that's promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for all things Houston Rockets basketball. To stay up to date with the show, be sure to follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and of course the show at Locked On Rockets. Now, as I was teasing at the end of that last segment, the Rockets only attempted 33 pointers in this game. They matched the LA Lakers 3-point attempts in this game. And that's because in the fourth quarter, and just throughout this game, it's not exclusively the fourth quarter, but really throughout this game, the Rockets were not playing their brand of basketball. They were getting chased off of the 3-point line. And all throughout this season, we've seen the Rockets take some really ungodly contested looks at times from behind the arc. But in this one, suddenly everybody got cold feet. PJ Tucker, with only 2 3-point attempts, is unacceptable in this game. Covington, with just 4 3-point attempts. Eric Gordon, with only 6. James Harden, at 9 3-point attempts, is a little bit more at par for the course. But even then, you know, I'd like to see James Harden get those numbers up a little bit. In a way, he could be even slightly more aggressive, you know, when he sees those traps coming. As long as he's got, you know, the space, he can initiate and get his step back off before the trap makes its way all the way to him. Jeff Green with only 2 3-point attempts. Ben McLemore with only 2. Rivers with only 1 3-point attempt. And what sucks is watching these guys who are, you know, adequate 3-point shooters decide to pump fake, dribble into the teeth of the Lakers defense, jump in the air, and then turn the ball over. Because they did that 5 times in the fourth quarter. They turned the ball over 5 times in the fourth quarter, 3 times specifically during that 17-5 Lakers run, directly leading to 6 Lakers points. The Rockets were doing such a great job taking care of the ball in this game and then just completely abandoned what made them successful throughout the first 3 quarters in the fourth quarter. They just abandoned it and suddenly turned the ball over way too much in the fourth. The Lakers had 15 turnovers to the tune of 12 Rockets points. The Rockets finished the game with 10 turnovers to the tune of 8 Lakers points. And 6 of those points came during the run, and I'm pretty sure that final 2 points that the Lakers scored was absolutely in that fourth quarter. So the Rockets, even though they turned the ball over a little bit throughout the game up until that fourth quarter, the Lakers hadn't scored any points off of it. But they absolutely need to get back to their brand of basketball, which means getting 40-plus, 50-plus three-pointers put up there, because you're not going to beat the Lakers at scoring in the paint. You're just not. it's going to be too hard to contain LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And not to mention the fact that they gave up an obscene amount of back cuts in this game. There were a couple times that Kyle Kuzma dove backdoor, got easy layups, Rajon Rondo backdoor. Just, it was really painful to see those really easy points go the Lakers' way when, I mean, look, it's easy points whenever LeBron James has the basketball because all he has to do is barrel towards the rim, throw his arms up, and then yell at the officials to make sure that he gets a call. Attempted 10 free throws in this game and actually, you know, played a hand in overturning. It felt like a handful of calls here and there because LeBron James gets to yell and complain at the officials with almost Draymond Green-like intensity and get away with it, which is awesome. But looking at the Rockets, James Harden and Russell Westbrook and Jeff Green did absolutely everything they could in this game. They really did. They put it all out there and played to the best of their ability. And then you look at PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, Eric Gordon. They had so-so games. I'll give the so-so game to Robert Covington and Eric Gordon, who Robert Covington took that really painful shot in the fourth quarter from Anthony Davis. Hopefully he's okay. He's absolutely probably going to need some stitches if it's like a laceration or something or a broken nose possibly. There was a lot of blood there. I absolutely hope Robert Covington's okay. Likewise, whatever's going on with Daniel House Jr., hope he's okay. And then PJ Tucker too took a couple shots to his left thigh, it looked like. The first one from LeBron James. Actually, I think both were from LeBron James. Just kind of some hard screens where LeBron's knee landed right into PJ's quad. And, you know, I hope PJ Tucker's okay, but still, if I have to rank how the Rockets played in this game, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Jeff Green all get a pass. Eric Gordon and Robert Covington played some very so-so games. PJ Tucker has to be better. I'm sorry. He cannot be that much of a non-factor offensively, because if he's a non-factor offensively, then they're essentially playing 4-on-5 on offense. And that just can't happen. He needs to be able to get shots up. And there were times that he was open in the corner and had a look and hesitated and off of an aggressive Laker closeout. And if PJ Tucker hesitates on a shot, then all he's going to do is dribble a little bit back towards the top of the key and try to dish the ball back off to Harden or Russ. And that's a reset on the possession. So if somebody else works to get him a look in the corner, he has to take it. And then Ben McLemore and Austin Rivers get like quadruple Fs for this game, because Ben McLemore, 10 minutes, 0 points, no production, had one steal. Austin Rivers, 11 minutes, missed both of his shots, had two fouls, zeros across the stat line apart from that. Apart from his two field goal attempts and his one three-point attempt, it's just zeros down the stat line for both of those guys. It's just really painful to look at. And in a scenario, I know it's become a bit of a meme, a bit of a joke at this point, but in a scenario where you don't have Daniel House Jr. in this game, then why can't Damari Carroll get just a little bit of run? Because Jeff Green played the entirety of the fourth quarter. Eric Gordon played 11 and a half minutes of the fourth quarter. Russell Westbrook played almost 10 straight minutes in the fourth quarter. James Harden played 9.5 minutes in the fourth quarter. That is a defensive substitution issue. And that falls solely on the head of Mike D'Antoni. Because, look, and here's the thing, right? Is Robert Covington's injury that took him out of the game happened at the 4:37 mark of the fourth quarter. So it's not like Robert Covington's injury suddenly messed up MDA's plan for this rotation. Yes, Jeff Green probably wouldn't have closed out the game, but you know who probably was going to close out the game? Was Robert Covington. Covington was probably going to be out there until the final buzzer had he not gotten his face slashed open by Anthony Davis's elbow as he was falling to the floor. So that being said, that would have still been two players in Eric Gordon and Robert Covington who played essentially the entire fourth quarter. That's just poor substitution. That's poor roster management. And then to go post-game and to say after the game, oh, the players were kind of tired, you know, at the end of the game. One, I don't like that. That's a terrible excuse for poor play down the stretch. I don't want to hear the players are tired. This is playoff basketball against the LA Lakers, the brightest stage against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I don't want to hear that the players are too tired. That's just the worst excuse in the book. And if they are too tired, guess what? Guess why they're too tired? Because they're not getting proper rest or substitution patterns, because essentially the Rockets ran a six-man rotation. Jeff Green played 35 minutes off the bench, Harden played 38, Gordon 36, Westbrook 36, Covington 36, Tucker 38. And those numbers don't sound bad right off the top as I just read them off. But when you consider the fact that Eric Gordon again played the entire fourth quarter and Jeff Green played the entire fourth quarter, and I haven't lined it up to see who played, you know, how long in the third quarter and then played without rest and then went into the fourth quarter. Those are just looking at the fourth quarter numbers alone is what I'm going off of. And if you use Damari Carroll just a little bit to break up some of those gaps to give players a minute or two breather on the bench, they're still going to play extra minutes in this game. But I think one of the whole things that MDA talked about wanting to have Eric Gordon be a starter was so that he wouldn't have to play the final 36 of 42 minutes in a game to be able to get him around those starters level minutes. But he's doing that anyways by playing him 12 straight minutes in the fourth quarter. The guy didn't have his legs under him. And then neither did Jeff Green. Although Green still gets a pass. He had a great game. But I can't wrap my head around what's going on with the coaching decisions on a night where you're getting out-rebounded, out-hustled for some of those 50-50 balls. This game was just a game of 50-50 balls because it really came down to the Rockets and Lakers were right there at the fourth quarter, and then a lot of things broke the Lakers' way in that fourth. And it just didn't work out for the Rockets. But the good news is, moving forward in the series, if Russell Westbrook can continue to play this way, the Rockets role players are not going to play this poorly in games moving forward. They're just not. These role players, just like the Lakers have a handful of role players where on any given night, one of their role players can step up and be the third best guy for this team, whether it's Danny Green or Rondo or Morris or Kuzma, whoever it might be, it's kind of random. The Rockets kind of have that too. It's usually Eric Gordon, but even some nights it's Robert Covington. Some nights it can be PJ Tucker. Tonight it was Jeff Green. During the regular season, there were games where Austin Rivers and Ben McLemore both showed the ability to be the Rockets' third best player. I'd like to see versions of those guys show up again. But on any given night, the Rockets' role players can step up and have an explosive game. We saw that in game two. But unfortunately, the struggles of Russell Westbrook were a little bit too much to overcome in game two. So moving forward, if Russ and Harden can be the two consistent factors and they just need one or two guys out of the role players to step up, then they're going to be able to win some games in the series and they're going to be able to take this series to seven, because LeBron James had to go supernova just to keep this game tied going into the fourth. And that's something to build off of. They're going to go back, they're going to look at the fourth quarter film tape, and they're going to figure out exactly where they went wrong. And they made changes coming into this game. They made adjustments, they made changes, and they looked good through three quarters in this game. And then they got outscored 30-20 in the final frame. Scoring 38 points in the second half was a bit painful. And even that third quarter, the Rockets only put up 18 points, but they also still limited LA to just 21 points. So defensively, they were still right there with LA in that third quarter. So even though offensively they struggled a bit in that third, they were right there. So I'm expecting that they're going to look at film, they're going to figure things out, they're going to make adjustments, and they're going to come back strong in game four. And if Russell Westbrook can continue this level of play, I'm confident in this team. It's a hard loss to stomach, especially considering how good everybody else played in game two, but it's not like you got blown out. It's not like the Rockets aren't equally as talented to the Lakers. This isn't a huge talent gap like it was between Los Angeles and Portland. The Rockets are right there talent-wise with this Lakers team. It's just about executing down the stretch, finding the spots in the LA defense where they can take advantage of them, and ideally getting back one of your rotation players in Daniel House Jr. So I think that's where I'm going to wrap things up for. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, where our very next episode we will be joined by none other than a Mr. Matt Bullard. So definitely don't want to miss that. But as always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.